Okay, let's go to James in Mandeville. He's got a question regarding community property. Hey, James, you're on All Things Legal with Doug Cinceri and Albert Nico.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate that so much.
What you got for us, James?
My question is concerning community property. My wife died a little over a year ago without a will, and I was one of those geniuses who moved from another state and assumed that survivorship was automatic. I've been told that that is not true, that my two heirs, our two heirs, actually own her half of our assets. So okay. I'm trying to find out if that's true exactly and how far does it extend. I mean, I've got a house, a car, and
well, where was your mother, where was your wife domiciled when she died? Where did she live?
In Mandeville.
Okay, she lived in Mandeville. And she died without a will. Okay,
right.
y'all was still married.
Yes.
Okay. Basically, there's something called, you get, as far as community is concerned, you get your half of the community. You get 50%, and the other 50% you have a usufruct over, meaning that you have use of it upon remarriage or, in case of your house, until you would sell your house. So it's called an 890 usufruct. So basically, let's say, I'm going to make it simplistic, you got a $500,000 community property, $250,000 is yours, value of $250,000 is your wife's. You got yours out right. You have a usufruct over your wife's portion. Now let's talk about the house. You got use of your wife's portion of the house until remarriage or until you sell the property. So if you ever sell the house, the usufruct would come off. Your children would have to sign off on it, and they would get their your mother's half or your wife's half. So
I got you.
So that's, and now as far as you'd have a usufruct over, I guess, the money and movables of your wife's portion of the house, like, for example, your kitchen table is half yours, half you, subject to a usufruct. You get to use the whole thing. Now, as far as bank accounts, that's a little more sticky. You have a $100,000 bank account. Technically, $50,000 of it's yours, $50,000 of it's your wife's. But any interest that derives from that, you would be entitled to it. But the principal would be your children would be entitled to it upon your death, that $50,000. So.
Would that be a bank account balance as of her death or
date of death, balance. Now,
right.
Now, I mean, here's the kicker. I mean, this is sort of practicality. If you start dipping into your wife's portion, you know, are your kids going to sue you? are they going to ask you to post the bond or what have you? Now, typically that happens. But the children might say, hey, that's mom and dad's. We're not going to make an issue of it. It's not ours. And the kids would get whatever's left over when you're gone. So, but from a technical standpoint. Yeah, Albert.
Well, I'm just saying the word usufruct is a combination of two words, actually. It's a Latin term of usus and fructus. And usus means you get the right to use that property. And the fructus means the fruits, the civil fruits, the interest, the rents. If you own rental property, you get to, you know, keep the rent, keep it up. There are a lot of rules about what the usufructuary has to pay for in terms of maintenance versus what the naked owners, that's what your children would be called, naked owners, because they have ownership, but they don't have the right to use it, and they don't have the right to any fruits. Meaning, you know, investment income, that sort of thing. What happens is you'll open a succession for your wife. At the end of the document that is the sworn descriptive list will be a net value of her estate. And so the net value of that estate, let's say it's, like Doug said, $250,000. So you can go on about your life, do whatever you have to do, but at the end of the day, you have to at least leave your children $250,000 of assets. And so, you know, that's the only issue you have to deal with. You know, you can kind of do whatever you want. Now, in terms of the real estate, like Doug said, technically, you know, your kids would have to sign off on any transfers or whatever if you decide to sell it, which is another reason why people want to come in and or should come in and execute a will, because if they want to leave a usufruct to their wife, they can leave it for life instead of for remarriage, and they can also allow the spouse to sell the family home without the permission of the naked owners of the children, and then can take those funds, and which would remain in usufruct, but just take those funds and purchase a different home with it. You know, they can sell and movables, sell immovables, real estate. So a will will help provide that, facilitate that. Technically everything Doug said is correct and everything, but at the end of the day, you know, are your kids really going to even know about it, first of all, or even care? If, hey, look, this is the deal, you know. And how old are your children, by the way?
They're in their 40s.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So,
I've got one of them who doesn't need a penny. The other one I was going to try and, in my will, leave everything to one and not to another, since one doesn't need it and one does.
I would discuss that with the one who doesn't need it, and just explain your rationale. So there's no hard feelings that, gee whiz, Daddy left me out of the will. You know, he must love one more than me, right?
It's a pretty obvious situation. He's quite wealthy, whereas the other one is not.
I think what Albert's saying, I mean, we encounter this, you know, at times, that even if you have the, quote, you know, wealthy one, it's a good idea to discuss mm-hmm. that in advance so the expectations right. are aligned when that day comes. And
right.
just so that they know they're not, it's not from a personal
emotional,
perspective,
yeah.
emotional, personal perspective. It's just very
right,
pragmatic.
Yeah.
But
I've got one more specific
sure,
for you.
Sure.
I have a car in both of our names. Can I sell that?
Here's what I would suggest you do. I would open the succession and ask the children to grant you approval to be the independent administrator of the estate. And what that will do is that will give you the opportunity to go ahead and sell various assets of the decedent and convert them to cash. And so when you open that succession, then there's a little, just, you know, it's a consent form that they will sign saying, we consent that my father can be the independent executor or independent administrator of the estate, and that he will have the rights to do X, Y, Z. And then you will be able to show that document. You'll get letters of administration, for independent administration from the court, and you'll be able to show that document to banks, insurance companies, investment, et cetera, and you'll have authority to take care of all that business.
I see. And until I do that, I can't sell this vehicle that's in both of our names.
Well, you can also.
Yeah, which you can go to Fastlane. I think it's fastlane.com. It's basically Louisiana's Office of Motor Vehicles.
Yeah.
And there is an affidavit form. And on the affidavit form, you can have the vehicle transferred to your name with the consent of your children. And so just get all three of them to sign this form and send it into the state, mm-hmm. and then the vehicle can transfer to your name, and you can sell it to whoever you want.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay, good. All right. I think I understand. So the house is really the problem, because no one's going to sue me over a bank account or anything like that.
Well, you just got to get approval of your kids if you ever want to sell it.
Right. Gotcha.
And then when you sell it, you can prevail on them to say, hey, let me keep the money instead of having it go to you on your wife's portion of the house.
Right.
So, and I mean, most children, a lot of children will do that. Most probably would. So, you know, it is sort of, it could be an awkward conversation.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, so the call had dropped out, so I actually missed a little portion of that. How do I open succession?
Well, you contact an attorney, and the attorney will file the paperwork for you. It's something we do regularly at our office. And the attorney will file the paperwork for you, get everyone to sign off on it. And if it's what we call a spouse in a house, you know, with maybe some investments, it's a pretty easy thing to do. And then we can document what the net estate would be for her and what the value of that usufruct would be for the children.
Right. Okay, great. Well, I think that answers my questions.
All right.
All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling, Gene. Hey, Albert, I was pretty impressed with your knowledge of Latin with usa and affruct.
Yeah, well.
was that St. Paul? Because the reason it piqued my interest, and I'm probably going to get a lot of trouble for saying this, the last D I received in a class was at De La Salle in eighth grade because my parents prevailed on me to take Latin instead of Spanish. Well, the only problem was, and my Latin teacher had just immigrated from China. So I had...
Oh, no way.
Yes. And so I can say this, he's not around anymore, so I can talk behind his back. But so I had a... someone who just immigrated from Asia teaching me Latin, who did not exactly have command of the English language. In fact, I would say he had very little command of the English language. So I think I always wanted to put a little
asterisk. You had to learn Chinese and Latin, right? two of the easy ones.
I wanted to put a little asterisk on my transcripts explaining that so that if I was ever evaluated on that. So I'm just coming clean with that. So, you know. I wish I would have known a little more Latin so I could have given that explanation.